The poet Ogden Nash once said, "Some debts are fun when you are acquiring them, but none are fun when you set about retiring them." Hi, I'm Rob West. One thing's for sure, getting into debt is much easier than getting out of debt. So the more you know about debt and credit, the better off you'll be. Author Dr. Shane Enett joins us again today for his take on that double-edged sword. And then we have lots of great listener questions ahead, but we won't be taking your live calls today because this program is pre-recorded. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, it's a great privilege to have our friend Dr. Shane Enett with us again today. He's an associate professor of finance at Biola University. He's the author of the brand new book, Whole Heart Finances, A Jesus-Centered Guide to Managing Your Money with Joy. Shane, welcome back.
Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. You know, we're going to talk about debt and credit, as you know, in just a moment. But before we do that, I'd love for you to give us your definition of whole heart finances, the title of your book.
Sure. Yeah. So money is deeply connected to our hearts. And so when we learn about finances as Christians, our hearts love Jesus, but too often we don't involve him. And that leads to fractured heart finances and a type of alienation. But this book is really helping to make Jesus the center of our finances through helping instill simple habits that unlock financial joy.
Yeah. Well, folks, I'd really encourage you to pick it up. It will be a great blessing to you, no doubt. Let's talk some about debt and credit. I want to kick it off with a great story you have in the book about a roommate struggling to pay off student loan debt. Share that with our listeners.
Sure. Yeah, I was in a house full of eight guys just after college, and I'd gotten a good paying job in finance. And, you know, I was just blessed to not have college debt coming out of college. And I had a roommate who, you know, he worked so hard to get through college and was mostly able to get out debt free, but had this debt amount that really just was a great burden to him. And he was just working so hard, and he couldn't make any progress after a couple of years after college. And so I received a windfall, you know, from an inheritance, and was just praying for weeks, you know, where should this surplus go? You know, this extra that I wanted to just pass along to someone in need. And it just, God kind of gave me this vision that, you know, I had been given enough money to be debt free, and how wonderful to pass that along, you know, and to help my roommate become debt free. And when he, you know, learned that he was now debt free, that God had kind of passed along my inheritance, part of it to him, it was just this incredible moment where I could see the weight the debt had been on his shoulders had just been released. And he was a lot more light and free after that.
Wow. I bet you experienced some incredible joy along with that, didn't you?
Very true. Yeah. It's lovely to just be a part of God's provision for others as well as yourself.
Oh, that's powerful. Well, there's no doubt, Shane, that debt can be a real burden. In fact, when we look at God's word, we see that clearly. Jesus treats debt seriously. We see it in Paul's letter to the Colossians. So unpack this for us. Why do you think this topic is treated in this way in God's word?
You know, debt is so serious that often threaded throughout the Bible when, you know, God describes what he's offering his people, he says it's like being freed from debt, you know, and so Jesus, when describing the kingdom of heaven, is saying it's like being freed from debt. And Paul, when describing atonement, is saying it's like being freed from debt. And so debt is this type of bondage that is serious. And, you know, of all the ways to help describe our redemption from sin, he chooses to say it's like being freed from debt. So it's this very serious thing to not be totally free, to not be able to express who we are in Christ to the world, in a total free way. And so we glorify God when we are image bearers and we're able to make all of our choices based on what he wants and not having to look towards other masters on this earth.
Yeah, no doubt about it. There are clear financial and emotional byproducts, but there are also spiritual byproducts of being in debt, that master-slave relationship that the Bible talks about. Well, we'll continue to unpack this just around the corner and talk about what God's Word says. Is debt immoral? And what do you need to know about credit? And are there certain types of credit that are worse than others? Dr. Shane Enat with us today. He's Associate Professor of Finance at Biola University and the author of Whole Heart Finances. We're talking debt and credit today, and back with much more just around the corner. Stick around.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Today is International Youth Day, and considering the world our young people are inheriting, anything we can do to truly help them, the better. As the cliche goes, they are the future. The trouble is, the agenda of this world always needs scrutiny when it comes to kids. What's the outcome they seek? It's all the more reason to do what we can to help young people directly. Volunteer for the youth group. Teach a Sunday school class. Share the love of Jesus and instill God's Word wherever you can. A verse from Psalm 119 comes to mind. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. You can get more daily encouragement from God's Word with Anchor Devotional. Try it out today. Just visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
The FDA did approve this particular over-the-counter drug for terminating early pregnancies. This is a policy that not only should be challenged, it was challenged. This is a study that's done, and this is the data, this is the science. You can always question that and say, well, who is funding this research? Are these geared toward a specific outcome? But that also begs the question, where is our funding on our side for better studies?
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. With me today, my friend, Dr. Shane Enat. He's Associate Professor of Finance at Biola University. He's the author of the new book, Whole Heart Finances, a Jesus-centered guide to managing your money with joy. You can get it wherever you buy books. We're talking about the misconceptions related to debt and credit today. And Shane, just before the break, you were talking about some of the implications of debt and why we see so much in the way of warnings found in God's Word. And as I mentioned, clearly there are financial and emotional byproducts of debt. There also are spiritual byproducts, aren't there?
Yeah. You know, when God instituted Jubilee for the Israelites, he wanted people after a certain amount of time to be free and to go back to their original inheritance. And part of that is just that, you know, as Christians, he wants us to be able to go out into the world and show off who he is. And debt becomes a hindrance to that. And so spiritually, you know, we want to be free from other people telling us what to do and just look towards our Father in heaven as our only kind of source of instruction.
Yeah, that's so good. I love what one of my mentors, Ron Blue, would often say. He says we should live in such a way that we can live or die, give or go. And often it's debt that's holding us back from that living or even dying, giving or going. And so clearly we want to live in such a way that we can follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. That then takes us, though, to the next question that we often get, which is debt a sin? Or you might say, is it immoral? What would be your thoughts there?
You know, when we look at the Bible with debt, when it talks about whether something's moral or immoral, they're very, very strong language around the idea that being a lender in such a way that you enslave people towards you, that that is immoral. And that's, you know, traditionally been called usury.
Yes.
And so making a financially vulnerable person more vulnerable and enslaving them through the use of debts, the Bible is clear. And every religion, if you look at it, has language, strong language against this type of thing. Mm-hmm. However, with being a borrower, I'd say it's more a matter of wisdom and not a morality. And so we have to just understand the dangers of debt and, you know, and look at it. And I'd say one of the greatest principles and use of knowledge about debts that we can apply as a Christian to be wise and to make a level path for our feet is just to recognize that debts can be on an appreciating asset or on a depreciating asset. And the two types of debt are much, much different. And so just to recognize that is really helpful.
Yeah, that's well said. Shane, what do you wish more people knew about debt and credit?
So I think immediately people associate credit as debt. And I think it's important not to always pair those two together. Credit is just helping, you know, someone is saying that you are a good risk. You know, I'm willing to extend some debt to you, but you can grow your credit without ever borrowing. And I think in general, to build a good credit reputation, to build and grow your credit and available credit over time is a good thing. And I, you know, want to stress to fear it and to never use it. And that'll just generate a high credit score, let you be able to get a mortgage at a really low rate, let you access, you know, goods and services, but just to grow credit, fear it, and don't use it. That would be something I think not enough people understand.
Yeah. You and I have kids, and we talk to our kids often about the dangers of social media and the algorithms and how they try to draw you in. There's something similar going on with credit cards with regard to how they kind of get you into the system and teach you this is just the way you pay for things. You have a section in the book that you call the Trojan horse of credit cards. Explain that for us.
Sure. Yeah. People often, you know, are deceived by credit cards in the same way that the Trojans were deceived by the horse that came in. You know, credit cards, they're two products in one. They are providing really useful service as we go, you know, use cash less and less. We need some way to pay bills and, you know, buy things. And so it's nice to have a medium of exchange where you just have this card and you can swipe. And nowadays it's just on your phone. And so that's a product and that's nice. But then there's an extra product in it that is this ability to buy something without having the money and to extend a loan as you are purchasing. And that is what is the dangerous part of a credit card. And really what they do is they delay the consequence of spending. So even if you have the money and you pay your full credit card bill at the end of the month, which, you know, means you're not borrowing, there's no interest assessed, the fact that you can go into a store, buy something, and not see a consequence right away, that actually triggers a shot of dopamine, and it makes it so we enjoy shopping more. If you've ever gone and bought something big, and then you had cash and you actually saw the cash as it's being extended and it's going away, it's painful. You know, you actually experience the consequence. But if you just swipe, I don't, you know, nowadays, I don't even know what things cost as I just use Apple Pay and, you know, you just can buy things automatically. And so credit card companies know that, and they've made shopping more enjoyable. And again, even if you're paying your bill at the end of the month, you're going to be spending more. And they've shown that you do spend about 30% more if you are not using cash.
Yeah.
And so that comes in and it addicts you. And then you get kind of anchored to the minimum payments. And so 2/3 of people don't pay their full balance because they've brought this Trojan horse into their house.
Hmm. Yeah, it's becoming more and more challenging. I mean, the stores that I'm going into these days, often they will say, we don't accept cash. And so they're just not even offering you that option in some cases. And so unless you have visibility into it with something like the FaithFi app where you can see where your money's going, you may not even realize. So what would be then some of those keys, Shane, to overcoming this and perhaps some disciplines you can put in your life so you don't get drawn into the trap you're describing?
Yeah. So the trap is to delay the consequence of spending. And the solution is to hurry up the consequence of spending. And, you know, it's not quite practical to go all cash because you just can't do a lot of transactions that you need to do. But as you said, the FaithFi app and just a basic tracking system, you know, you could do it by hand. You could do it through an app. You need to look and see what's happening. And I recommend a 3 minutes a day tracking habit to shine a light bright, because then you see the consequence. And that really helps. The other really useful thing is an envelope system. So the old school envelope system is you get paid, you get a bunch of cash, and then you divvy up the cash into a groceries and a gasoline envelope. But nowadays, you know, with most apps, including the FaithFi app, you can set money aside ahead of time into a digital envelope. And really, that's the next best thing. And so if you create a general rule or principle that you'll only spend out of envelopes that have cash in them, then that's going to really help also show the consequence of your spending right away.
Shane, we're about out of time, just about 30 seconds. What is the promise if we live this way? What is in it for us if we seek to honor God with managing money His way?
You know, Paul asked us to excel in the grace of giving. And really, he says that benefits us because we'll experience the gospel over and over. And so as we get rid of debts and we stay debt free, we get to maximize and excel in our giving. And that'll help us encounter the gospel in a rich and unique way throughout our whole life.
That is so well said. Well, Shane, that was just incredible. We're going to have you back real soon. Thanks for stopping by today, my friend.
Thanks so much for having me.
That's Dr. Shane Enad. He is Associate Professor of Finance at Biola University and the author of the brand new book, Whole Heart Finances, a Jesus-centered guide to managing your money with joy. Pick it up today. Back with your questions after this. Stick around.
Interested in seminary but don't think it will work in this season in life? Wesley Biblical Seminary offers flexible options that allow you to take classes live, no matter where you are. At WBS, we don't just educate people, we develop trusted leaders for faithful churches. It's time for you to respond to the calling God has on your life. Take classes from an institution that you can trust for a calling that will not go away. Learn more about your opportunities at wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at guidestonefunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Every day, AFA offers biblical insight on issues that others aren't willing to touch in the hopes that you'll become a world changer. That's why we're offering an in-depth worldview training course called Activate. 13 different professors teaching 18 sessions, all available online, including a printed workbook to help you apply what you've learned and one-year access to AFA streaming content to give you even more resources. Find out more about Activate and sign up today at activate.afa.net.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit kingdomadvisors.com. That's kingdomadvisors.com.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
I'd like to take a moment to ask you to consider investing in the ministry that you know as American Family Association. One way you can support AFA's efforts is through your estate planning. You can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Well, we're so thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Boy, I look forward to this hour every day as I have the opportunity to come alongside you, to encourage you, to point you back to God's Word, help you apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. You see, folks, you and I, we have a high calling as it relates to our stewardship of God's money. That's right. It all belongs to Him. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. That's what Psalm 24:1 tells us. And therefore, we're stewards and money is now a tool to accomplish God's purposes. It's morally neutral. It's not good or bad. The question is, how are we going to use it? Are we going to hold it loosely? Are we going to allow it to compete with our affection and devotion to God Himself? Because remember, the Bible says you cannot serve God and money. And I don't think that was an accident that those two things were put alongside one another, because if something is going to compete with our affection and devotion to the Lord, I would submit it's most often going to be money and the things that money can buy. So how do we develop an eternal perspective as it relates to our money? Well, that's what we want to help you do on this program each day, to help you see your resources, God's resources that you're managing, through the lens of Scripture, applying a biblical worldview. That's what we do with all of our programming here at American Family Radio, and that certainly includes God's money. So what are your questions today related to your finances? We'd love to hear from you. Let's dig in. We'll begin in Indianapolis today. John, go ahead, sir.
Yes, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. You've answered this question several times in the past months, been listening on and off, about online banking or savings accounts. Something that'll earn more interest than typically our checking accounts, but something with no fees, no minimums. And I know you made some recommendations, and it was never applicable till now to my wife and I. So we'd like to start something where we can put some money into that kind of thing to earn some interest, but better than our typically or just our bank.
Yeah, very good. So what I generally recommend is that you hang on to that brick and mortar banking relationship that you have for your checking account. Maybe that, you know, continues to be your operating account. But especially in this environment where right now that we're in, where interest rates, the Fed funds rate is still high. There's adverse effects of that when we're borrowing, but it does benefit us on the savings side because we're able to get a little bit better rate of return. But there is a pretty stark comparison between, you know, what the traditional brick and mortar bank will pay at maybe a quarter of 1% or less, and what we'll get from the online banks, where they don't have to pay for the large staff of the brick and mortar banks. They don't have any real estate operations with local branches, and so they're able to pass all of that on in the form of higher interest rates. You know, the only concern some folks will have when they hear online bank, they'll think that that might kind of raise the risk level, and I would challenge that. I mean, anytime you're doing business online, whether it's logging into your brick and mortar bank to do bill pay or, you know, to transfer money or to, you know, make a payment electronically, you're exposing yourself to essentially the same risks that you would have with doing business with an online bank. And you still need to use those best practices of strong passwords, change regularly, and not clicking on links in emails and not logging in over public Wi-Fi, things like like that. The only perhaps increased risk is just based on the size of the bank. If the bank were to fail, it doesn't happen often, but it certainly has. That's where you would want the FDIC insurance, because the U.S. government would essentially step in by way of the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation and guarantee those deposits, make sure they remain liquid so you can, you know, take a deposit, get the money out if you need it, and to know that it's protected. So I'm completely comfortable with that. Right now, high yield savings is still fairly attractive. At, you know, you can find them between 4.5% and 5% today with FDIC insurance, with no minimums, and with a, you know, 5-star rated bank. I would go to the website that I mention frequently, and that is bankrate.com. Bankrate.com. Right there at the front of the page, you'll see several links. One of those will be for high yield savings, and they will essentially show you those online banks, and you'll recognize many of the brands that are offering the most compelling interest rates today. It'll give you an opportunity to read through kind of the pros and cons in terms of, you know, why they're rated the way they are. It might be customer service. It might be any number of issues, the usability of the website. But I think you establishing an online savings account with one of those, again, linking it electronically to your existing brick and mortar checking banking institution, and then being able to move money back and forth periodically as you need it, makes a lot of sense. Because, you know, even a $10,000 investment over the next year is going to yield $500. And that's $500 you're giving up if you don't do it. But does that all make sense to you?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Okay.
So bankrate.com, and then pursue the high yield savings accounts.
That's exactly right. You can choose the one that's the best fit for you, and then get that account open, and you'll be off to the races.
Marvelous. Thank you, sir.
All right. God bless you. We appreciate your call today very much. Let's see. We don't have time to take the next question before the next break. So, Beverly, you stay right there. Olive, you do the same. But we will get to your questions right after this break. Let me take this opportunity before we hit that next break to remind you that, you know, one of the most common questions we're getting right now is from folks saying, I just can't make the budget work. In fact, what our coaches are telling us, we have certified Christian financial counselors that are a part of our team that work with a lot of our listeners free of charge, just as a part of our ministry. And they're telling us they're even seeing a rise in the number of families that are buying homes together because of the dramatic rise in housing prices. That's the only way they can make the numbers work. They're actually going in saying, well, we'll divide, you know, we'll use the kitchen together. Maybe we'll take the top floor, you take the bottom floor, and let's go. You know, it's just really difficult out there right now. Well, one of the ways to stay on budget if you're struggling is to have a spending plan and a system to control the flow of money. I would recommend that you check out the FaithFi app. You'll find it at faithfi.com. It's based on the tried and true envelope system, but in a modern, beautiful, simple expression right there on your smartphone. Julie and I use it every day, and there's no way we'd know what was left in eating out or in my girl's clothing fund without the FaithFi app. So download it today from your app store. Just search for FaithFi. We'll be right back. Did you know the average person walks nearly 2,000 miles a year? Now think about the millions of children around the world who risk disease and miss out on opportunities simply because they walk those 2,000 miles without a decent pair of shoes. Around the world, Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls provides access to health, education, hope, and opportunity through the gift of shoes. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child right now.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
Answers in Genesis.
Ark Encounter.
The Creation Museum.
Both are more than just family destinations. They're resources to help you and your family deepen your understanding of the Bible. Wesley Wildman and Tony Vitagliano are taking that to another level with AFA at the Ark. October 31st through November 2nd, you'll get to learn from special presentations and a live panel discussion with Wesley and Tony. For all the details, visit afa.net/events today and click AFA at the Ark.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. This is the program where we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices, help you make decisions in light of God's word as you're a steward of God's resources. Let's head to Little Rock, Arkansas. Hi, Beverly. How can I help?
Hi. I have two questions that I would like to ask about finances. My first question, as a sole proprietor, do we tithe off the gross, the profit net, or the owner's draw?
Yeah, that's a great question, Beverly. So let's back up for a second. When we look at the tithe, I love the principle of the tithe, and that's certainly an appropriate way to begin your giving. My friend Randy Alcorn calls it the training wheels of giving. Now, we recognize we're no longer under the law of Moses. We're under the law of Christ. And so giving that we see in New Testament in the New Testament is giving proportionately and systematically. And that's where I think the tithe comes in. Clearly, we're to give to the local church. I think the discipline of giving to the local church first is incredibly important, not only for us as an individual, as a Christ follower, but also for the church itself. I mean, this is the place that is feeding us spiritually, and I think we're called to give proportionately to the church. So I like the tithe. The principle of the tithe is a great beginning point. Now, the other kind of hallmarks of New Testament giving beyond systematic and proportionate giving is giving freely and I think even giving sacrificially. We see that modeled with Jesus' comments related to the widow and her sacrificial gift out of her poverty. So I think that's the framework that we operate in. Now, if we're applying the principle of the tithe to your giving to the local church, which again, I would affirm, the tithe has to do with your increase. So to your question about being a business owner and giving a tithe off of the business revenues, you have to determine what is my increase. And it does become a little bit more challenging when we own a business because it's very simple to determine your increase when you're getting a paycheck from an employer. You're a W-2 employee and 100% of what you get in your paycheck is absolutely your increase. And so I'd give a proportionate gift on the gross amount. It's a little different though with your business because it 100% of what comes into your business is not your increase because you've got expenses and overhead and you might have some employees or you might have some marketing expenses or, you know, business license or tax filings, things like that. And so what you would do is you would look at probably two pieces. Number one is what you're paying yourself out of the business. You mentioned the owner's draw. That's absolutely part of your increase. But beyond that, you may have retained profits in your business that you would want to look at on some periodic basis. Generally, I would say for that portion, you may want to look at it annually when you file your taxes and determine how much profit you had left over in the business. And then you could give a tithe on that as well. But depending on the type of business you had, if you tried to tithe on the gross receipts, you may not be able to stay in business. I mean, think about a grocery store. I mean, they get a very small percentage of what they bring in, they retain as profits because they're buying, you know, all the products that are going on the shelves. So I would say, kind of to boil that down, the tithe would be given on the owner's draw plus any profits that you determine you have at some periodic interval, and I would generally look at that annually.
Okay, thank you. You answered part of my second question, and when the scripture says what exactly, I mean, I want to know exactly what it means when it says every man according to as he purposed in his heart. So yeah. When you said that part about the tithe and being Old Testament, so it kind of answered that question. It says, so let him give not grudgingly. And I took that to be mad or reluctant or of compulsion. Right. And sometimes I think compulsion is impulsive. But God loves a cheerful giver. So I was thinking compulsion is kind of like impulsive, like different times you would be in church services and people would stand there and say, well, I hear the Lord saying give X amount. And then they might stand and say, the Amplified thing says out of necessity. Mm-hmm. And then if they say we have a need at the church and then they might ask for X amount. And then sometimes in our congregations or denominations, they might have a pastor's anniversary or something of that nature. And people feel compelled to meet those obligations or those dues in our organization. So I was just wondering, could you give me some clarification on that?
Yes, I'd be happy to. And I appreciate that question. You know, you're referencing the passage we find in 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Well, it's interesting. The original Greek word for cheerful is hilarios, which is what we get the English word hilarious from. And I love the picture that creates in our minds, Beverly. We're to be joyful givers. And you know, one of the things that I mentioned a moment ago is that New Testament giving is giving freely. That's another way to say that. And so the big idea here is that we're to give cheerfully and not reluctantly. Now, how do we give cheerfully? Well, I think what that says to us is the key to cheerful giving is to yield ourselves to Christ and ask him to direct how much he wants us to give. My son is turning 18, and you know, if he were to tell me that you know he wants a gift and he's requiring that of me, well, it changes it. Or if I were to say I feel obligated to give this to you because it's your birthday tomorrow, he may not be as joyful. But when I give it to him and I say, buddy, I'm so proud of you and I love what God's doing in your life, and to celebrate your birthday, I want to give you this gift. You know, all of a sudden he's receiving that differently because it's coming from a different place in my heart. It's an overflow of my love for him. And I think the same thing is true with our giving to the Lord. When we yield ourselves to Christ, we ask him to direct how much he wants us to give. So ultimately, it's not between you and your pastor or you and your church. It's between you and the Lord. Now, I think a proper, instruction as a church or a pastor needs to include rightly dividing God's word. And that means that they're going to need to lay out what it looks like for biblical generosity, and that a part of stewardship is taking a portion of what we've been entrusted and returning it to the Lord and in part to the local church. So I don't think there's anything wrong with the church or your pastor teaching on giving, even teaching that the tithe is an appropriate way to give. But at the end of the day, I think your heart motivation and your giving needs to be driven by you yielding yourself to Christ and asking the Lord to direct how much he wants you to give, not responding to a mandate from someone else. Does that all make sense, though?
Okay, yeah, it makes sense. I have clarification on it. I have an understanding of it. And I'd like to say I appreciate you addressing this area for me, and I'm sure me and other people, when we listen to your financial advice, it helps us to navigate through life. And I, again, say thank you, and I got a better understanding.
Wow, that's great. I'm delighted to hear that. You know, at the end of the day, it's not what God wants from us. It's what he wants for us. And here's my experience, that when you give freely and you give sacrificially and you give as an act of worship and an overflow of your gratitude to God for what he's done for you, beginning with his work on the cross, it's something that will result in incredible joy. And we know that the kingdom will be advanced and we'll help people in need along the way. What a beautiful picture of the body of Christ. Thanks for your call, Beverly. Back with much more after this. Stay with us.
Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how many times I would have taken you under my wings. They had everything that was necessary for them to know Jesus and follow him, and they went their way.
I think for nations, for individuals, there is a day that you have to make the decision to respond to the Lord, and it might be that the door of opportunity after that shuts.
Exploring the Word, weekdays, 3 p.m. Central on AFR.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
Are you searching for a way to become a better, faithful steward of the resources that God has given you? Well, download the FaithFi app and join the 37,000 others who are already using our app. The FaithFi app will provide you with wisdom, community, and simply help you stay on track with your finances. We have three money management options to choose from, so find an option that fits your unique needs. It's available on desktop or mobile. Simply go to faithfi.com and click app to get started.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Here in our final segment, we'll get to as many calls as we can. We've got the lines all stacked up. Let's go down to Pembroke Pines, Florida. Hi, Olive. Go right ahead.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for taking my call, Bob,
sure.
Rob.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm getting ready to retire in about 6 months, and I have an investment account with FRS, Florida Retirement System. Okay. And I was speaking to some investment people, and they suggested an annuity where they would take my $520,000 and immediately add 30% to it. And then for each year that I delayed taking withdrawals, I would get 8%. If I started taking within a year, I would get $42,925, I think, each year for the rest of my life.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah, I mean, those numbers don't sound bad at all. I would probably want someone to read the fine print on that who's not, you know, standing to benefit from you taking that policy, just getting a second opinion, because this is a pretty big decision. I mean, I think the only downside to this, assuming you're right, that they are going to add the 30% bonus right up front, and then you're guaranteed 8% a year until you take it, and then when you start taking it, it sounds like they're going to give you about 8% a year. If I'm hearing you correctly, that's $42,000 on 530 grand. I mean, those are all pretty attractive numbers. There will be surrender penalties if you need to get more than the annual amount each year, especially early in the policy. So that's probably the major downside to this type of approach, is you're locking up your money, so to speak, without some pretty significant penalties. So if you needed more than, you know, this would allow, then you may have some trouble there, or it just might be costly to get to it. So where these can be effective is if you have some other funds available. Maybe this isn't all of your retirement funds, and, you know, you've got an annuity here, but then you've got something else, you know, that's a little bit more liquid. That might be one option. Certainly you'd want to have at least 6 months' expenses outside of this, but I would even love if you have additional assets as well that are a little bit more accessible. But apart from that, I'm not hearing any red flags with regard to the kinds of returns they're talking about, and ultimately the annuitized payment. Now, are you married, Olive?
No, I'm not.
Okay. And so this would just be on your life, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so do you know what happens to the annuity if you were to pass away? Is there going to be anything available for your heirs?
Yeah, whatever is left in the account, you know, I have a beneficiary, my daughter. She will get it.
Yeah, very good. So I think, you know, perhaps it's worth, before you kind of sign on the dotted line, having a certified Kingdom advisor there in Pembroke Pines look over this policy and just make sure there's not anything you're missing. If you wanted to take that step, you could go to faithfi.com. But apart from that, if the annual amount that you'll be bringing in, you know, allows you to, alongside Social Security and any other income sources, balance your budget and perhaps even give you a little bit of margin, then I think, you know, there's something to be said about that. Do you have the ability, though, to delay this for a period of time? I mean, what would you live on after you retire in 6 months?
Oh, yeah, I have leave balances that they would pay me out on, so I wouldn't need to touch it for all the next year.
Okay. All right. So you can live on other income, and then a year from now, you'd need to start drawing from this.
Correct. And I also have my deferred compensation account.
Ah, yeah, you have your deferred comp. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't see anything right off that is necessarily a negative, as long as you understand that you're not going to have as much access to the money, especially early, without some pretty hefty penalties. And then I would just want somebody to look over the fine print and make sure you're not missing anything. But apart from that, I think it sounds like a pretty good plan. Congratulations, though. And what are you most looking forward to in this next season of life?
Not waking up at 4:30 in the morning.
I can understand. I would enjoy that as well. All right, Olive. Well, God bless you. Thanks for calling today. We appreciate you being on the program. Let's head up to Indiana, Frankfort, to be specific. Eva, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wondered, if my husband retires at age 55, can he work a part-time job and still take some money out of his 401k without penalty?
Yes. Yes, he would be able to. So you, under the rule of 55, if you separate from employment, whether you are laid off, you leave, you retire, as long as you're at least 55 when that happens, then you can start to take withdrawals from the 401k without penalty. They would be taxable, of course, and then he would be able to seek other employment.
Okay. What if he got into his part-time job and decided to work full-time? If he started to make more money, could he still take a little bit out of his 401k?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So you can get a new job and continue to take, even a full-time job, and continue to take the penalty-free withdrawals from your former 401k employer, your former employer's 401k under that rule of 55.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Now, keep in mind, you're just missing the 10% penalty. The withdrawals are going to be taxable. You understand that, correct?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that 10% penalty under the rule of 55 goes away, and there's no cap or any kind of limitations on another job after you leave the employer with the existing 401k.
So just to talk about numbers, say we take out $2,000 a month to supplement our income. How much do we need to set aside for taxes? Is it about a third?
You know, it. I mean, you would probably want to get with a CPA just because you've got a lot of changes going on right now to run that estimate. I mean, it just depends on how much total taxable income you'd have. I would say, you know, 25% would probably be plenty just based on the current tax brackets. But I don't know how much income you're going to have. And that's where a CPA could actually run those numbers and give you a much more clear forecast.
Okay, that sounds good.
Okay. Thanks for calling today. We appreciate you being on. Cleveland, Ohio is where we're headed next. Hi, Kathy. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you. So I'm considering retiring at 65, even though my retirement age is not until 67 for the full Social Security. And I've heard you talk about if, you know, the longer you wait, the more the check would be and how it increases 8% per year. So if I would consider living 2 years off of my 401 and not touch my Social Security or not register for Social Security, I guess, would it continue to grow even though I'm not working, or is my income what's dependent on it growing?
No, as long as you have 35 years of wages where you paid FICA taxes, you stopping work, let me back up. So at a minimum, you need 10 years or 40 credits to be eligible for benefits. And then your benefits are based on your highest 35 years of earnings. But if you've worked throughout your life and you haven't had a job where you didn't pay Social Security, and so, you know, throughout your working life you were paying FICA taxes, then you've already got your high 35 in place. So if you stop working, there's no penalty. And in fact, you're correct. If between 65 and 67 you don't claim the benefits, then you're not going to have any kind of reduction and you're going to get your full retirement benefit, which you can find at MySSA, or maybe you already know what it is because you've been getting those annual mailers each year. So the fact that you're stopping work, as long as you've got those high 35 already in place, is not going to penalize you in any way. And in fact, you're correct. You will get that full benefit by waiting.
Okay. I was concerned that the 2 years without income at 66 and 67, if I had zeros for both of those years, that would decrease my high 35.
No, it would not. It just won't replace any of your high 35 with a higher amount, but it won't knock any of them off because, again, your high 35 is only looking at your highest 35 years of earnings. So your earnings at 66 and 67 or 65 and 66 at zero are clearly not going to replace any of your existing high 35s, but they're not going to, you know, go in there as zeros. They're just not going to be applied.
Got it. Okay, that's good to know. Thank you so much.
Sure, Kathy. Let's finish in Florida today. Bob, you'll be our final caller. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, good afternoon, Rob.
Hi.
Quick question. I've been. My wife and I are going to be retiring shortly, probably within about a year. We have plenty of money. We're all set for retirement. Our home is paid for. The only thing I don't have is long-term care insurance. So my concern is, I can always get a reverse mortgage on my home to take care of any of that.
Yeah.
But I also heard a commercial on the radio where this one person likes an equity loan instead of a reverse mortgage, because then they can determine where the overage would go after the sale of the house, instead of a reverse mortgage where the overage might go back to the lender of the reverse mortgage.
But that's not how a reverse mortgage works. I mean, the newer reverse mortgages, the ones you would get today, is called a HECM, a home equity conversion mortgage. And 100% of the equity that's remaining in the home after the reverse mortgage is paid by you either passing away or selling the home is available to your estate to be given away or passed on to heirs. The only thing is, the whatever is taken out, whether it's through a home equity line of credit, reverse mortgage line of credit, or through a monthly income stream, that obviously, because you're not making any payments, and that's part and parcel to a reverse mortgage, that's going to be growing over time with interest and fees. But anything remaining after that full balance is paid is available to you through a reverse mortgage.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Hey, if you want to learn more, let's do this. Stay on the line. Our team will get your information. I want to send you a book. It's called Understanding Reverse. I think it'll be real helpful to you and give you a lot of great information. Thanks for calling today, Bob. That's going to do it for us today, folks. Thanks to my team, Devin Patrick, Pat Montague, and Jim Henry. Couldn't do it without them. Thank you for being here as well. Hope you have a great rest of your day. And come back and join us tomorrow. Lord willing, I'll be here, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.